All right, welcome to this update on the Middle East. Mike Adams here, and I'm recording this on Friday, October 13th, which is the day of jihad, the Muslim jihad uprising day. There have not been any explosions, bombings that I'm aware of so far. There have been stabbings. Some Israeli, I think one official in Europe was stabbed by a radicalized Muslim jihadi follower. And there was another kind of similar attack. I don't recall where it was. So maybe a couple of stabbings so far, which is pretty mild compared to what we feared might happen on this day. But as I'm recording this, I will note that tomorrow, Saturday, is the day of the Sabbath. And it is certainly possible that whoever is trying to carry out jihadi type of activities may choose Saturday for, to have extra religious day emphasis of some kind. The point is, all of us have to keep our guard up here moving forward for years to come because of what has been unleashed. Now, let me give you a synopsis of the situation. So far, Israel has not moved in large numbers into Gaza, but they have put in some number of tanks and troops in northern Gaza, what they're calling something like a small expeditionary force, a hostage location type of force. They're not calling it a full invasion, but it may appear like an invasion to Palestinians who are living there. So we'll see if this escalates or not. Yesterday, Israel called for 1+ million Palestinians to evacuate roughly the northern half of Gaza and ordered them all to move south of the Wadi. I guess it's called the main Gaza Wadi. I don't know the exact name of it, but they're all supposed to move south of that. And Israel gave them 24 hours to do so. But then it was quickly pointed out by the United Nations, no less, and a number of other countries, by the way, official diplomats from other countries, including Saudi Arabia, that essentially, I'm paraphrasing, that it's impossible for 1+ million Palestinians to evacuate northern Gaza because Israel has bombed all the streets and bombed the place into rubble where no gas stations are operating, there's no electricity, there's almost no passable roads in many parts of Gaza. And so how are you supposed to evacuate? It's impossible. So the United Nations has demanded that Israel withdraw its evacuation order, which obviously was a prelude to a full-blown invasion of Gaza. And also the World Health Organization, yes, the WHO, has issued a warning stating that this will be a humanitarian crisis of huge proportions if Israel pursues this intended invasion of Gaza, where there are still 2+ million Palestinian civilians who are not Hamas. They're not Hamas. And those people out there who are equating Hamas with Palestinians in Gaza, they're making a false equation. But it's a very convenient equation to make, and that's why you're seeing Senator Lindsey Graham call for leveling Gaza. Just wipe them all out. And you're hearing that kind of talk from many people, not just a few, but from many members of Congress, many independent or alternative media outlets and editors and writers and podcasters. This is becoming, frankly, it's a little scary to see how much these people all support total genocide. And that's what this is, make no mistake. Even some people that I thought I knew are now calling for genocide and ethnic cleansing, and they're not making any apologies about it. They are overtly saying, you're hearing this from a lot of people, they are overtly saying that all Palestinians must be exterminated, and that's the only solution, which of course smacks of the historical phrase of final solution, which was ethnic cleansing committed against the Jews. Now, many Jews want to commit a final solution against Palestinians. So again, history repeats itself if we are too foolish to not learn from it. And surely Israel has not learned from history. Otherwise, they would support a two-state solution so that people could coexist in peace. But they don't want a two-state solution. They want to completely exterminate and murder Palestinians and take their land and call that, you know, Greater Israel. I mean, that's where we are. Now, back to the geopolitics that are taking place here. The United States wants war. In fact, U.S. intelligence was no doubt behind the Hamas attack on Israel. You know, the terrorist attack that killed now, I think, 1,300 Israelis is the current count. Some of who were dual citizens, a few dozen Americans, some people who were Thai, some people who were different nationalities. But roughly about 1,300 is the number that I'm seeing reported. And by the way, the Israeli Air Force and military, IDF, has killed now 1,600 Palestinians. So Israel has now killed more civilians than Hamas did, in case you're keeping track. But the U.S. wants war. Israel wants war. That's really what this is all about, is trying to have an expanding war to eventually, they want to ensnare Iran in this, but they also want to eliminate Palestine or the Palestinian people as an entire ethnic group. That is clear. But other nations, i.e. BRICS nations, let's say Saudi Arabia, Iran, Russia, even Turkey to some extent, they all want peace. And in various ways, they're calling for a ceasefire. They're calling for diplomatic negotiations to end the mass killing and to negotiate some way that Israelis and Palestinians might coexist on lands that are, of course, very, very close to each other or contained within the other in the case of Gaza. But the U.S. doesn't want peace. This is critical to understand. And Israel doesn't want peace. They want war. They want genocide. They want escalation. And one thing that's been quite disturbing in this is to see both Trump and RFK Jr. call for supporting Israel with more weapons. So here comes the warmongering side of Trump and RFK Jr., who clearly are supporting Israel's ongoing attempts to engage in an extermination of an entire ethnic group, the Palestinian people of Gaza, which every rule of war, every institution, every body, even the United Nations says is a war crime. So if you send weapons to Israel right now, you are supporting war crimes. Both Trump and RFK Jr. therefore indirectly support Israel's war crimes against the Palestinians. I'm a little bit surprised that RFK is on board with this. I had expected a more reasoned answer from RFK Jr. that was more humanitarian, because he is a very compassionate person, and he has fought through legal means and nonprofit means and so on for many years. He has fought for many groups that were victimized, that were oppressed. He has fought for, you know, the rights of black children, for example, to not live in mercury contamination and pesticide poisoning and GMOs and all these kinds of things. So I'm a little bit surprised that RFK Jr. hasn't said something like Israel should call off the assault on Gaza and allow sufficient time for all civilians, especially women and children and elderly, to leave Gaza. Although even that is just saying, yeah, we're still going to take your land. We're going to bomb you into oblivion. So get out and then we'll steal your land. But at least you must give the civilians time to leave and a means to leave, neither one of which currently exists. And then, of course, Joe Biden is fully supporting Israel, at least publicly right now, even though it was Barack Obama, who runs Joe Biden, who funded Iran, who funded Hezbollah, and it was Barack Obama who took numerous actions that are ultimately designed to destroy the state of Israel as well as the United States. The upshot of this is that virtually every candidate for president, and almost every person in power in the United States government is a warmonger. Just wants more war, is willing to support more war, is willing to call for more war, and you don't have anybody calling for peace. Except a few of us in the independent media. And for calling for peace, we are being labeled extremists. So yes, in 2023, if you call for peace, you're considered an extremist, because that's how insane the situation has become. And if you call for peace in Ukraine, then you're called a Putin puppet. Don't forget that. So the world wants war. The institutions want war. The Israelis want war. And we have witnessed an astonishing transformation of Israeli people into genocidal monsters just overnight. I mean, just overnight, like flipping a switch, they became almost all out in favor of genocide and extermination of an entire ethnic group. It's astonishing, kind of frightening, to know that we are living among genocidal monsters who can go into a genocidal rage in one day, and that they have held this inner hatred for so long, but pretended to be humanitarians, pretended to be reasoned people. But all it took was one day, one event, and suddenly it's all pro-genocide. That tells you something there about the human race that is not nice. Now, the BRICS nations, by promoting diplomacy, are actually, in essence, hoping to achieve control over the situation and take control away from the United States, and thereby reduce the influence of the U.S. in the region. So if there is more war, the U.S. exerts more influence. That's why the U.S. wants war, because it justifies the military presence of the U.S. If the BRICS nations succeed and there ends up being a ceasefire and then diplomatic negotiations and perhaps ultimately a two-state solution, then the U.S. loses and Israel loses, but the BRICS nations win, and also, in that case, peace wins. And then there would be more peace, and energy prices would fall, and that would help create, you know, more energy abundance for the world, and the energy export routes out of the, you know, Straits of Hormuz and other places, including the Suez Canal, by the way, those routes would be protected and fully functional, and we would not suffer, you know, crazy increases in the price of oil. But if the U.S. and Israel get their way and they escalate this into more war, then what you're going to see is oil headed to $150 a barrel, perhaps $200 a barrel over time, and an ever-expanding war involving Iran, involving Syria, involving Hezbollah, Lebanon, Jordan, potentially Egypt, potentially other countries, Turkey even. And that will be a world war. And eventually Russia gets involved, and China no doubt chimes in. And it is that world war that America wants. And it's, as Brian Berletic told me in an interview I did with him yesterday, well, late last night, actually. He said, look, the U.S. empire is running out of time. They're desperate to hold on to power. And the only way they can do that is by creating chaos and war. And so they're trying to create chaos as rapidly as possible, because they know that time is not on their side. It's not on the side of the U.S. empire. That time is actually on the side of China and Russia and Iran and Saudi Arabia and so on. Time is on their side, because the more time passes, the weaker the U.S. gets, and the more the dollar collapses, and the more countries reject the dollar. So that's an overview of the dynamics that are in place right now. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also the founder of Brighteon.com. Take care. Thank you for your support here at Brighteon.com and also healthrangerstore.com. And I've selected a few solutions for you. Some of them are brand new. You haven't seen this before. I've got some samples here on my desk. So we've got colloidal silver Castile body soap here. That's, I don't think anybody else has put that together, by the way. So if you've ever wanted to wash your skin or wash your hair, and you want a very high quality soap, no artificial fragrance chemicals or any garbage like that, and you want the benefits of colloidal silver, you know, because you really want to be clean, and you want all the advantages of colloidal silver in your soap, that's the product to do it. Castile liquid soap with colloidal silver. That's available, of course, at healthrangerstore.com. We also have fermented Super 30 back in stock. That's the orange one there. There, my hand's on top of that. Now, fermented Super 30, which combines 30 different superfoods and fruits and vegetables and roots that are fermented and then dried and, of course, laboratory tested, as we do everything. We test for heavy metals and glyphosate and microbiology and all of that. And then we put it in these pouches for you. And so you can get all of these active molecular constituents of 30 different superfoods all at once in that product. Again, available at healthrangerstore.com. And then on the left-hand side there, we have our certified organic lab-tested goji berries back in stock. And goji berries are difficult to source because of course, global supply chains being a problem. But also looking at the lead testing and the heavy metals testing, the E. coli testing that we do, not all the batches pass in terms of goji berries. And frankly, some goji berries, just the quality's not that good. So some batches we reject for that reason. But this is a really great batch, super clean, laboratory tested, certified organic, ready to go. Those are available now. You can eat them as a snack or you can put them in smoothies. They're quite delicious and they are chock full of nutrients. So go to healthrangerstore.com, and there you'll see we have, you know, Coco Energize there, astaxanthin soft gels. These are really good. What else? Oh, the kombucha probiotics drink, tooth salt with neem, Coco Love, bee pollen, much more. All of this available at healthrangerstore.com. We appreciate your support and all of your purchases at healthrangerstore.com. Go to support this platform and our pro-humanity mission. Understand that we support humanity. We support people of all religions, races, colors, ethnicities, genders, orientations, you name it. We support human life and we value all human life. And we believe that our products help keep people healthy and happy so that they can pursue whatever mission they've been given in their life. And that's what we're here to do, is to help heal the world through clean food. That's our slogan. HealthRangerStore.com. Thank you for your support. Thank you for shopping with us. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of HealthRangerStore and Brighteon.com.